Okay, tomorrow in Argentina, the International Olympic Committee will announce the host of the 2020 Summer Games. Here are the choices: Istanbul, Madrid, or Tokyo.
The contenders all have strong selling points. Each also has serious issues clouding its bid. We'll hear from correspondents in all three cities this morning.
And let's start with NPR's Peter Kenyon in Istanbul, where bid organizers who once believed they were clear frontrunners are campaigning hard in the final hours.
Predicting an IOC vote is a tricky affair, but earlier this year, Turkish officials were fairly aglow with the sense that this city linking Europe and Asia had the inside track to become the first Muslim country to host the Games. Even today, judging by the noise of heavy machinery, one would think the Games were practically a sure thing. In the Beşiktaş neighborhood near Taksim Square, the old soccer stadium is coming down to make way for a brand new arena. In addition to a massive new airport, a tunnel beneath the Bosphorus is nearly finished, and a third bridge spanning the strait is in the works. But clouds have gathered over Turkey's bid. Violent crackdowns on street protests thrust Istanbul into the headlines this summer, and a doping scandal has rocked the country's sporting federation. 19-year-old Tuba Güvenç, an 800-meter specialist training for the 2020 Games, says she hopes the bad publicity won't ruin Istanbul's chances. I do think these negative events have hurt us, but our advantages are still strong, she says. The Olympics is about bringing people together, and we bring two continents together. Environmentalists and urban planners hope the Games don't come here, saying the last thing Istanbul needs now is another rush of mega-projects. But Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan is taking a personal interest in the bid, traveling directly from the G20 summit to Buenos Aires for a last-minute push. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Istanbul.
This is Lauren Freyer in a 19th-century palace in Madrid, where the city has put its Olympic dreams on display. An exhibition with maps, models, and videos of possible venues for the 2020 Games. The city's famed bullring would host basketball. A lake in Retiro Park would be drained and filled with sand for beach volleyball. Madrileños are giddy at the prospect of hosting the Olympics, even though they doubt it'll do much for the 27% of Spaniards out of work, like Lourdes Cornacker.
If the Olympics come to Madrid and, for example, I rent a room in my flat to make some money, it's going to be money for 2 weeks and then it's gone.
Spain's Olympic chief Alejandro Blanco says the Games would jumpstart this economy after years of hardship. No investment is more profitable than the Olympics, he told reporters while introducing Madrid's bid. A big part of the profits will be in money, but the incalculable value is for our image. Madrid is littered with half-built stadia, housing, and public parks left over from the construction boom and bust, which would be repurposed for the Olympics. Blanco says 80% of the infrastructure Madrid needs for the Games is already in place, so its bid comes in at around $3 billion, one of the cheapest in Olympic history. But Madrid's image has been tainted by doping in sports, which wasn't even illegal here until 2006. Madrid was a base for Eufemiano Fuentes, a Spanish doctor convicted this year of masterminding one of the world's biggest doping rings. He gave blood transfusions to one of Lance Armstrong's teammates, Tyler Hamilton. Filippo Ricci is an Italian journalist who covered the cyclist's testimony.
When he came here to Madrid, he got an extraction of blood. He couldn't wait. He had a plane to catch, and he gets to the airport, and all his shirt is full of blood. You know, it's not a Tarantino film. This is blood, and it's in the streets of Madrid. It's incredible.
Spanish officials insist those scenes are history. They've recently passed anti-doping laws. This is Madrid's third consecutive Olympic bid. For NPR News, I'm Lauren Freyer in Madrid.
This is Lucy Kraft in Tokyo. If the Olympics are a coming-of-age ceremony for rising nations, for Japan, the Summer Games are a chance to show it still matters. Saddled with a shrinking, graying population, living uncomfortably in the shadow of an ascendant China, Japan is anxious to prove it remains a contender. On the practical side, the Games were seen as a much-needed boost to tourism for a country that is way off the beaten track and expensive to visit. But in Japan, the Olympics are just as much for the Japanese themselves as for overseas consumption. Tokyo's flamboyant former governor and nationalist, 80-year-old Shintaro Ishihara, was convinced the event would rekindle the magic of the 1964 Olympics, reinstilling a sense of unity, purpose, and pride he felt had waned as Japan matured. In normal times, Tokyo should have been a shoo-in. As anyone who has ever attended a business conference or even ordered a bowl of noodles here knows, Japan is the gold standard for service and efficiency. The trains are so reliable, you can set your watch by them. Tokyo is one of the richest cities in the world and offered ironclad guarantees that its deep pockets could cover any necessity. But even a cute robot demonstration, unveiled this week to highlight Japan's high-tech allure, could not distract from the PR nightmare that is the stricken Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant, a 2-year-old crisis that worsens by the day. Tokyo Olympic officials pointed out correctly that the leaking plant is over 100 miles from the capital, and the city's 13 million residents have long stopped having their produce checked for radiation. Yet the picture of a crisis clearly out of control has zoomed into sharp focus in recent weeks. The national government has pledged about $500 million to build an ice barrier around the site and filter toxic water. But with no safe end in sight for Fukushima, it's no wonder that overseas, as well as here in Tokyo, people say Japan has more pressing business than hosting an Olympics. For NPR News, this is Lucy Kraft in Tokyo.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne.